Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to TV, film, and Broadway actress Jasmine Guy. She stopped by the studio to chat about directing the holiday musical, The First Noel, as well as starring in Sci-Fi's Superstition and BET's The Quad. We also get up close and personal with Project Runway star Kenya Freeman of the Sylvia Molly brand. The fashion designer opens up about appearing on this last season, as well as Atlanta's fashion scene and style trends that she hopes will stay in 2017. I'll also be playing new music from Seal and Kenny Lattimore. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for men and women that appear to be in their 20s to 50s with a Midwestern look for the TV series Good Girls. The actors cannot have any visible tattoos and must also have a bookable car from 2002 through 2008. Please, no red or white cars. If this is you, please send your first and last name, contact phone number, a current photo with no filters, your current sizes, and a photo of your car to goodgirls@centralcasting.com with car 11 in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, congratulations to LL Cool J. He made history recently as the very first hip-hop star to ever receive the prestigious Kennedy Center honors. He will be recognized for his decades of influence and artistry as a pioneering rapper plus entertainment icon. Other honorees include Grammy-winning singer and songwriter Lionel Richie, trailblazing dancer and choreographer Carmen de Lavallade, Cuban megastar Gloria Estevan, and pioneering TV producer and writer Norman Lear. The two-hour special will air on Tuesday, December 26th at 9 p.m. on CBS. TV One has released a snippet for its upcoming original movie, Behind the Movement. The film debuts this coming February and is a retelling of how Rosa Parks' refusal to give up her seat launched the history-making Montgomery bus boycott of 1955 through 1956. Behind the Movement stars Meta Golding as Rosa Parks, Roger Guinevere Smith as Raymond Parks, Loretta Devine as Joanne Robinson, Isaiah Washington as E.D. Dixon, Sean Clay as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Keith Arthur Bolden as Ralph David Abernathy. Go to WCLK.com to watch the trailer. That's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the High Museum of Art, presenting Friday Jazz at the High on December 15th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. This month features saxophonist Brian Hogans. Attendees will also be able to view Making Africa, a continent of contemporary design, now in its final weeks. Friday Jazz at the High is hosted by WCLK's Jamal Ahmed. Ticket information is available at high.org.
Luck be a lady tonight.
This is Omar Dorsey, a.k.a. Hollywood of Queen Sugar, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My first guest is award-winning TV, film, and Broadway star, Miss Jasmine Guy. She is directing Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company production of The First Noel, December 8th through the 24th at the First Center for the Arts at Georgia Tech. Guy is also here to chat about returning to primetime in Mario Van Peebles' sci-fi series Superstition and BET's The Quad, which returns for a second season this January. Here's part one of our conversation.
Well, good morning, Jasmine Guy, and welcome back to Upfront. How are you?
Can I just say I'm so proud of you.
Oh,
I mean, you know, I moved here 8 or 9 years ago, so I've seen the growth in individuals, but also the growth of our city.
Yeah,
because when they had the tax, what do you call it?
It's like the what are you talking about? The film tax?
Yes.
Okay.
Where we were just a location, but I was like, but you have to understand, you can cast from here. You can get crew from here. And it has been a synergy. I mean, first of all, anybody that come out of Tyler Perry, That's like boot camp.
Yeah.
Okay? So I've worked with actors from there, crew from there. And then for a little radio station, I've watched you say, we're more than this. We can do more. So yeah. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So you've got a lot of stuff going on, lot that we've got to cover. I want to start off first with The First Noel. I got a chance to preview that back in June.
Yes.
When Kenny was kind of giving, the True Colors fans a preview of this new season. And they were so excited about this show. And I got a chance to come out and see it. And the girls were just amazing. The music
is awesome.
Stunning. So let's talk about that. We're going to be over at the First Center this year. We're kind of taking these shows around a little bit. We're going to be over at the First Center starting December 13th. And you're directing.
Yes.
So let's talk about First
it's
Noel.
It's the First Noel, FIRST, at the First Center,
right.
FEREST, at Georgia Tech. Usually, Kenny describes True Colors as a movable feast, but usually we're at Southwest Arts Center,
right.
Which is about 320. And now we're going to the First at 1200. And one thing I don't want to happen is that people aren't there. And we've already sold out for our previews.
Wow.
So the music is great. It was done at the Apollo. And these two young men, Leland DeMond Thomas and
Jason Michael Webb.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I have trouble with three names. But they're so gifted. And it's time for a new Christmas story.
Yeah.
How many times can I see Nutcracker? And I was in it. Okay. Black Nativity. All of those are staples.
Right.
But Christmas Carol. What about a new idea? And this is about a story of a family that lost a child. So right away, it's sad, But it's the strength of the family. It's the strength of the community. Because as a mother, I have a village, and I love that this story is about that and being patient with each other while we go through our thing, And I love my two male characters. I mean, first of all, I love everybody in the show. They are so good. Sometimes I sprained my ankle, so I had a boot on, but when they start singing and I stand up, I'm not the director, I'm the fan.
Yeah.
They're awesome. And I want this to be a new staple. So you have Nutcracker, Chocolate Nutcracker, Black Nativity, Christmas Carol, and you're gonna have the First Noel. And then I have two little babies in it. They're 8 and 9. It's very hard for me to direct them because I'm like, okay, you're supposed to be on the right, but whatever.
Right.
I mean, they're so raw and so earnest. You can't recapture that. I'm glad their parents are there because I'm not going to be the one. But they're so good. And this is all Atlanta talent. This is us.
Yeah.
This is what we came from.
What would you say has been the toughest part for you being the director this time around? Because this, like we said, is your second time, and you're so used to being the talent, but now you're having to corral and direct and move these guys in the direction that you see the show should be going. What has been the toughest part of doing that?
Well, it is a big mind shift from going from actor to director, because as an actor, I really am just focused on my part. How to make it the best to serve the production. And then I'm in charge of all these other people and thought processes and I don't always know the answer, This is a new show. The First Noel was done at the Apollo. This is the premiere in Atlanta. But there's a learning curve. It's not set. It's not Christmas Carol, where this is how we do it. Every year.
Right.
And this is what you do. There's a process where I may say to the actor, well, where are you going and why would you go there? It hasn't been blocked. It hasn't been explored. But that's exciting. You know, I was in, I don't know how many original productions, but it was so much different than like doing The Wiz 10 years later and doing what they already did, as opposed to, you know, doing Fame, which was an exploration. It's like we finding this on our own and we gotta fly. You know what I mean? So even a different world, it's like when Lisa Bonet wasn't on the show, I was like, well, that's over. I'm gonna move back to New York, continue doing what I was doing. And Debbie was like, no, this is what we're gonna do. And I didn't think it was gonna work.
Wow.
I wasn't open to, I said, how is Withy gonna like Dwayne? He's an underclassman, you know, yeah. And it's already been set up. She was, and I looked at Kadeem and I said, we gotta make this work.
Yeah.
How are we gonna make this work? We made it work by talking to each other. When I didn't believe it, first of all, if I don't believe it, I can't act it and I can't direct it. So always I'm going for truth and believability. Then my challenge is, how do I get that person from here to there? Because I haven't really analyzed, and I didn't go to school. I don't have the vocabulary that a lot of the theater majors have or whatever. I'm like, all I know is if you pause for a little bit, it'll be funny. You know what I mean? But that's not like an acting skill. I just don't know sometimes how to transfer what I know to other people. And I had choreographers and dance teachers that knew how to teach, but they weren't, maybe they didn't do it in their real lives. And then I've seen like divas on stage that don't have a clue how to get you to where, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
So that's been my learning curve in my 50s. That's my challenge, you know. How do you transfer the information you have other than tell my child who's like so sick of my stories, but how do these stories resonate and get people to what I see? The hardest part for me is that I see stuff and I have to wait for people to catch up. You know, like put a tomato in there with ketchup. So I'm like, you know, but I've already seen it and it's not like I'm a genius. I don't know. I've done a lot of theater. People may not have seen it, but I was really trained and grounded in live work, live rehearsals, mm-hmm. live, you know, watching shifts, you know. I make people cry, and I'm like, what you crying for? I just told you to move to the right. If you can't handle that, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
I've had chairs thrown at me, you know. I mean, if you can't do that, where are we going from here?
Right.
You have to allow the people that are talking to you, you have to discern the information that you're getting. And I have an 18-year-old. So I'm approaching my work totally differently because everybody looks like my son or my child. You look like my son. Like, I got to be sure to tell Ray I'm proud of him because yeah. I've seen that growth. You know, I've seen that. But nobody says nice things like that. Or I used to write cards. I don't write cards. So I got to tell you when I see you, I'm proud of you. And that you have to know we have this for a reason and how we're going to expound on it. And Kenny has taught me a lot. You know, he embraced me and I've been working with True Colors and the work I've done there has been, it fills my soul.
Thank you, Jasmine, and we'll be hearing more from her. But first, Atlanta-based fashion designer Kenya Freeman stopped by the studios this week to chat about her time on the recent season of Lifetime's award-winning docuseries, Project Runway. The creator of the Sylvia Molly brand gets real about the lessons she learned on the show, as well as the future of Atlanta's fashion scene and much more. This is an exclusive interview you won't hear anywhere else.
Well, good morning, Kenya Freeman, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. I'm good. Happy that you're actually here.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me. We've been trying to
get you in here for quite some time now.
I know.
You're like all over the world.
Yeah, I'm like all over crazy lady.
Well, so excited for you. I gotta say, when I turned into Project Runway this mm-hmm. season, anyone that knows me knows that I love the show. I've been watching it since season one, mm-hmm. never missed a season.
Oh, wow.
I'm just a huge fan. Because to me, that's what reality television really should be
right.
about. Not right. the turning over the tables and kicking chairs and dragging people. But really, really, I mean, that has its place. But
does
I really
have its place.
You know, but I really mm-hmm. think that reality television should showcase talented people,
mm-hmm,
you know, and so when watching this show, I just fell in love with the fact that these are people going after their dreams.
Totally.
You know, so when I tuned into this season and I saw your face, mm-hmm. I yelled, I was like, oh my God, what? Are you serious?
I know that little bald headed girl.
Because I think I may have met you like maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, mm-hmm. With Angela's mm-hmm. Big fashion extravaganza and then just kind of seeing rag trade and then just kind of seeing you around town and you're really good friends with a college buddy of mine, James Garvin. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I was like, man, you know, this she's just really doing mm-hmm. it. And so to see you on Project Runway with Tim Gunn and Nina Garcia and mm-hmm. Heidi Klum, it was just like, wow. And you were representing Atlanta.
Oh yeah.
You know? So why, I mean, your brand has been around for quite some time. So why Project Runway and why now?
You know, the last couple of years, even since season one, I've been watching myself. I never had any desire to do the show. Not a bit. I'm a little introverted, if some people did not know that. So I did not know that I could be in the, even doing runway shows, I would rather just peek out and say hello and run. To walk the runway gives me total anxiety. But so I didn't know that I could be on the screen like that. And I just felt compelled. Something just said, this is the time. And I did. I even screwed up my application really, really bad to the point where I'm like, oh, well, messed that up and got a phone call the very next day.
Wow.
So I'm like, this must be by design. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it just went on from there.
Yeah. Now the brand name, Sylvia Molly, yes. two names mm-hmm. after your mother and grandmother. Tell us about that story.
So I had a name prior and, you know, being a rookie in a business, and this was about 15 years ago, actually, but had another name and got all the stuff done with it and everything, and not knowing the business and not looking it up properly and getting the legal stuff done, and got a cease and desist letter saying, hey, you need to stop using this particular name. And I'm just like, oh, bummer. So I was just like, and that same day I was like, why not? I was like talking with my mom, talking with my grandma, and I'm like, this kind of sounds good. And I'm like, why not name my brand after the two most powerful women that I know, you know? So, and Sylvia being my mom and Molly being my grandmother. So Sylvia Molly was born that day.
Wow. And we got to see them on the show. So we really got to see that connect when Tim came to visit your family, and
oh my goodness,
just really
my
got
grandma.
To see the love. Yeah. And the food looks so good.
Oh, they didn't, hey, when Tim came, they said, oh, Tim is coming. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't pull out no stops for Tim. Tim had a good time.
So what was, you know, with us seeing you each week, it was mm-hmm. like, I mean, we were getting to know you. We were getting to know your aesthetic, as they like to call it, and, mm-hmm. and just kind of how you put everything together. But what was the hardest part for you? I mean, what was something that you learned about yourself that you didn't know before going into Project Runway?
I did not know that I could sew as fast. I learned something called adrenaline. it's difficult, you know, to be able to design at a moment's notice. You know, you have to pull that, even because some days, you know, as a creative, you don't always feel creative. And so having to force that creativity, which I think is rude, but having to pull that out of you and know that is either you make it work or you go home. And so, just being able to, and I think that when that adrenaline kicks in and you kind of get that self-doubt out of the way, you can actually really create some good stuff.
What was your favorite challenge?
I had two, actually. It was when we had to create for the Project Runway crew members' family.
Right.
And I met my second mama, and I got to create something for her, and I love that lady, totally. And when I did the Warrior Woman look, that was a touchy one, too, because it was all about women empowerment. A lot of these women, you know, suffer from breast cancer or are, you know, fighting the cause daily. You know what I mean? So that was an important one for me. That was actually a good one for me.
Yeah. Now, speaking of empowerment, did you ever feel the pressure of, wow, like you're representing African-American women in fashion and you're on this television platform? Was there pressure there? Because I would say a lot of times when we see African-Americans in arenas that we may not necessarily see them a lot, there's always that, wow, okay, so we've got a black person, you know, on this season or on this particular show or doing this particular thing. So was there any pressure for you?
I won't necessarily. Honestly, in that moment, I think I blocked all things out. I think the biggest thing for me, pressure wise, was knowing that my family was watching and making sure that I represented them more than anything, because my grandmother won't. I mean, she was not going to have you out here in these streets acting crazy. You know, she was like, you are my child now. I raised you right. Represent well. Yeah. So that was my biggest thing. Will my family be proud of what I'm doing? And weekly and after week, I would say, would my family be happy with how I represented them and what I did?
Yeah.
I never thought about, as women, a lot of times some of the other people would piss me off and they'll be like talking about like the plus size model. So a lot of times I felt like with the plus size models that I had to represent because I'm short and really, really round. So I had to make sure that they look good. So I had to represent at times to me in that sense. But it was just mainly my family.
Yeah. Now, with Atlanta being, you know, so much is happening in terms of television, film and music, fashion is sort of. It's kind of been there. It's kind of not been there. But I think now things are starting to turn that corner. So where do you see Atlanta's fashion scene within the next year or maybe next 5 years or so?
I think Atlanta's growing. I think with, you know, music and film, you know, it's all relative in a sense and they all connect, and you know, in some sorts. But Atlanta was struggling for a long time in fashion. I mean, the talent has always been here, but it's just getting, you know, all the other arenas like your New York Fashion Week and to be taken seriously. You know, I think we just have never been taken seriously. And so I think that I totally think that it's growing. I hope that I can play a major part in helping it grow. We have a huge arena called Rag Trade, which is the best fashion show that's put on in the city and the most respected, I think. And they put on an amazing show. They bring out a great audience and they have some of the best talent that comes. And I think if we keep growing in that direction, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. So I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
We're going into a new year.
New year.
So what are some trends that people should look out for in terms of just fashion, in terms of style for 2018?
Well, I'm not really, really trendy, actually.
Okay.
I'm more classic. I think if I stay more on a classic end, you know, when you buy stuff from me, you don't have to worry about the expiration dates. I don't believe in those.
Yeah.
There are some trends that I wish would go.
And what are those? What are some trends that you would like to see go away?
You know, I just want everyone to own their own individual look. And whatever that may be, I want everyone to be an individual. Like, we all walk around looking the exact same. Mm. You know, like, I want my fellas to pull these pants up. I want that to be over with. Like, I want a belt to be the new trend. You know what I mean? Like, I want ladies to, like, put some clothes on, honey. It seems like the new trending thing is, year after year, how much clothes can I not put on?
Right.
Put something on, honey. We can't give them everything all at once, you know? Yeah. Add a little bit. It's okay. But I'm a real big thing about ladies looking like ladies. That's my big thing. I also have a conference coming up soon.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about all things ladies because we need to go back to that. You know, there's nothing wrong with being sexy. Sexy is a great thing.
Yeah.
But you can be a little covered and still be equally as hot, if not more.
What's next for you?
So I have a lot of things coming up. I have some events that I'm doing top of the quarter. I will talk about later. I will be in Anchorage, Alaska in February doing some events at the Anchorage Museum.
Wow.
I have a day camp for kids coming up this summer that I'm very excited about. We got to take care of the little babies, or the middle babies, I would say. Some more shows, continue to push these lines. You know, I put out a new collection, in the spring and in the fall. I'm just all over the place crazy. You just got to keep up with me and see.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kenya. We appreciate you stopping by the Upfront Studios. And
thank you.
Much success to you in 2018. And we're so looking forward to all of the great things that you're going to do next year.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been a road, and it's going to be even more busy. Yeah. So thank you.
Hey, y'all. This is Logan Browning from Netflix's Dear White People, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
I got bad news. What you've got is bad timing.
Ain't no good timing to deliver what I got to say. What you do with the message is up to you. But I will caution. If ignored, your family will end up dead as that man in the box.
You just heard a clip of Jasmine Guy as Aunt Nancy in the sci-fi drama Superstition. Check out the second half of our conversation where she talks about her character and much more.
So I want to switch gears. You are actually starring alongside Mario Van Peebles, Demetra McKinney, Brad James, and Morgana Van Peebles in Superstition. What has that been like? Because that's one of those shows that we just did not even see coming.
I didn't either. It's a sci-fi show. I love sci-fi. I was on Dead Like Me, Touched by an Angel. Like, anytime I could be bewitched, I'm like, okay, so if we eat the spiders, then I can see their stories, you know. But Mario, I knew, of course, before, but we did a project together as actors, but I never worked with him as director. He has co-created, written, starring in, but I've been so impressed with his research. He really wanted a show about black people with what black people believed in. There's a lot of folklore from Africa, Haiti, you know, people want to call it voodoo, but, you know, there are many different colors. There's a Yoruba culture. I mean, it's not enough to just say that. So it's well-founded in fact, but I am immortal, in case you didn't know that before. So I get on the set, and I'm like, Mario got to be a little older than me. Let's just be realistic, like, you know, 5 or 6. I'm like, he look good. Okay. Then I found out he was 500 years old. And then I asked the makeup lady, well, how old am I? You know, she said, I don't know, maybe 125, 100, you know, 200. I was like, I look good for 200. I'm good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My confidence just boosted. Like, I'm allowed to really commit to this. So Aunt Nancy is a play on the word Anansi, mm-hmm. who is that spider mm-hmm. god that shows up in all these
African children. Folklore.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. And he's actually portrayed on HBO by, I'm sorry, I can't remember everybody's name. But anyway, Anansi comes up a lot, all right? I'm a female form of him. But I've been around a while. We don't really know why I'm showing up now, what my relationship is with Mario.
Okay.
I didn't even know. All I knew was okay, I know if I'm 200 and you 500, I've seen you before.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm coming in as protector, but really my access to the other side is through spiders. If you eat a spider that I give you, I can see your life story. Mm. And I love collecting stories. And that's an excellent way for us to bring our stories back to life. So we go back to the Civil War. And I've been in the Civil War a few times. But I was always a slave or a concubine. Mm. This time, I've got a corset, a hoop skirt, the curls. I'm like, Mario's like, yeah, we got to tell all sides of these stories. Because black people owned property, owned farms. You know, it's like Queen Sugar. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And that's who we were at that time. And I just have never played that. I've always been the half-breed, torn between, I don't know if I was white, I don't know if I was black, and screwing the master,
right.
You know?
Right.
And that was refreshing, because I never even thought about it until I did that episode. And then, of course, I did pray. I said, I've been here for 8 years. I leave town all the time. It's like I'm not really here, and I'm not really there.
Okay.
Can you give me a show in Atlanta? Can you give me a show where I live, you know? And I got two.
Yeah. And well, you're coming back with the quad. I mean, that's
season
two.
Coming back with the quad,
two.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Did you guys know that the show was going to be as successful as it is now?
Okay, again, I was an actor. So I said, well, if I'm playing this part, who's the president? That was my first question. Mm-hmm. And when I heard it was Anika Nani Rose, I was like, okay, we good.
Yeah.
Now, there might have been people I've been like, no,
yeah.
That's not good. Because it is all about the quality of what we do. It is not a different world. It's an hour drama. There's a lot more stuff going on than we ever had. It's a huge cast. But Rob Edwards went to FAMU. I think Anika did too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a full.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So there's that authenticity thing. And they're not doing a comedy. So where we dealt with very serious issues on A Different World, we also always had to be entertaining and funny. There's not that burden. In fact, sometimes it's so deep, I'm like, I have a funny thing to say, but I can't say it because everybody's deep, you know. But really, I'm so happy.
Well, Jasmine, thank you so much for being a guest on Upfront again. You're always welcome to come back. And we'll probably have you back as we get closer to the quad, because that's going to be coming out in January.
Yes.
Yeah.
And First Noel is December 8th through the 24th. And I want people to be open to a new Christmas experience. I mean, we can only sing Christmas carols so many times. Let's be real.
Well, for more information about The First Noel, you can definitely check that out at WCLK.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, Jasmine Guy and Kenya Freeman. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, December 16th at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.